Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Everyone, the run into the most exciting season in the history of football is underway. The mighty Reds are in the hunt for 4 trophies, and we have got that covered from all angles, whether it's pre-game.
There are big similarities between United and Liverpool because of the history and the success and the demand to be the best.
Post-game, when Liverpool got better in the second half, it came because we unleashed Andy Roberts.
A plus, yes. Excellent work in the XG goal timeline graph.
Documentaries.
So why not take a trip back in time with me now as we look at the story of a crew?
Features. And interviews.
Yeah, I played against him in I think it was just after lockdown. We played Blackburn and played Liverpool at Anfield.
There has never been a better time to join Red Men Plus and get yourself more Red Men content, more cultural features, closer access to the city of Liverpool, the club, and the vibes on the streets of Liverpool as we head towards an unprecedented end to the 2022 season. What a ride it's been. Come and join us over on redmenplus.com. It is a streaming service built specifically for Liverpool fans, and we want you over there, whether you like video content or podcast content. We have got you covered in your native podcasting app. There are 2 tiers available. Club Captain gets you access to all of the content, but if you want more, if you want to get closer to the Red Men TV team, then you can join as a club legend, get access to our Discord group, and don't forget there's also a whole bunch of extra perks, including free merchandise. Oh yes, and live show tickets as well. Red Men Plus, the best independent Liverpool media streaming service on the planet today. Get involved. Head to redmenplus.com. Hey everyone, it's the build-up show, apparently. We're here, Tottenham Hotspur, but we will talk about Liverpool Spurs. The 7:45 kickoff on Saturday, carnage. But let's be honest, last night saw Real Madrid knock out Man City, so we're going to talk about that. Sam Walker and John Machen in the studio with me for that one. And Sam, just great. I think lesser people turn off when Mahrez scores. I'm really pleased with my staying power, more because I was really tired and I had nowhere else to go other than bed, and I was too tired to go up to bed, so I just kept it on, and I'm very, very glad that I did.
Oh, do you know what, mate, if you could have texted me last night and said, tell me how you want City to get beat, it would have been the cruising through. Pep thinks he's amazing, takes off his best players, Kyle Walker gets injured. No, I don't wish him injury on forever,
but
the end of the season's fine.
Yes.
And then they absolutely crumble and concede 3 goals in 5 minutes and then just get arsed all the way to the end. And I think Chris said before, they ran about 50k more than they usually do, which is amazing. So, like, yeah, Carlsberg couldn't do midweeks better than that.
Yeah, if you had to cherry pick that game, that was it. Aside from like Real Madrid just blitzing them, but to the point, they've poured everything into that. They've had to go for the full. They've gone for the full load of extra time and everything. They've poured every egg of energy into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you couldn't have a better scenario, really, could you? Unless De Bruyne had got injured.
Yeah.
That would have been it. I mean, I'd not believed when I saw the semi-finals that either Villarreal or Real wouldn't get through. I just felt one of them would,
yeah.
Because the Champions League's like that. It's a bit daft. And I'd watched Paris Saint-Germain and Real and Chelsea and Real. And they didn't start playing until they were 2-0 down. So when Mahrez scored, I thought, 2-0 down now. And then I thought, no, they're just hopeless tonight. They're just not at it. Benzema isn't in the game. They're not really getting men in the box. So I'd given up hope, and I was just watching out of the fact that there was nothing else to watch.
Yeah.
And when it got to like 90 minutes, I'm thinking, yeah, oh, City and the fans don't really want that, you know. And let's admit it, it's not just because we're fed up playing City. They're bloody difficult to play.
Yeah.
I didn't want to play them.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, you know, 2 goals in 2 minutes, and I'm thinking, whoa, this is fantastic.
No, absolutely. But it's that weird counterintuitive thing about football because, well, Real Madrid have just knocked Man City out, but I still think City are a better team than Real Madrid, and that's the kind of long and short of it. Is I'm absolutely made up with it. And I've just done a quick show on YouTube before, and I have to be careful with how I say this because the things can be misinterpreted. I'm not like, I don't think Real Madrid will be a walkover by any stretch, but I do, that's right. I think City are brilliant, and I think City and us is just too stressful, and I'm just glad they've taken that stress away. I don't have to worry about it being Man City and us being the barrier between them and their first European Cup. It's nice if Real Madrid have gone and done that for
them. That what you've just said there, the last bit about us being the team they beat, you know, end the quadruple hopes. So they could end it beforehand, but you know, imagine they did that. You know, they steal our light like we did theirs when they won the domestic treble. All that comes into play, but they're just robotic City, aren't they?
The fact that they lost last year as well. I hate playing a team who lost the last one.
Yeah,
because it's so, you know, they remember how awful it was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're a very robotic side. So, like, you know, when no matter what, even last night until it got late, no matter what, they still played their patterns. Whereas we're a bit emotive, but what I will add to it, and I put this out last night, as I believe it 100%, Man City only got to the final last year because there was no emotion, there was no heritage and atmosphere to play with. Mm-hmm. That when shit hits the fan, they don't have that to turn to, like us, Real Madrid. And we've seen it with Paris as well. They don't have that lift, the extra
City
gear.
Don't like big atmospheres, I don't think. You know, I don't think that's their side. I think that's their kryptonite, if I'm honest. Mm. And it's why we've been able to engineer with worse teams, engineer bigger results against them. And look, the atmosphere is a thing, you know, and we can joke about it all we want about like the empty had thing. They don't create that atmosphere consistently enough at their own ground for them to get used to it. It's like how, you know, when you play against world-class players, you less world-class players become better because they're playing against world-class players. It's like, you know, it's practice environment needs to be better for when you get out into the real world.
It's also true that they score so many goals against the opposition that it kills the atmosphere.
Yeah.
They kill their own atmosphere because they just kill the game.
Yeah.
You know, we're always on a wing in a prayer, aren't we?
We're so direct as well. So like, we're like, rush forward, and what comes with that is you do make mistakes, and it kind of adds to it. Where the City are just like pass. They have the ball for 6 minutes and nothing will happen, and I think that, like you say, that also brings it down. But anyway, they've got nothing to come with that extra gear when they need to look around. Where are you, people? It's like plastic flags or no real go to. Remember that game we were? Oh no, we didn't. Remember? Oh, we didn't. Didn't
and as we said this the other week, they don't. Their fans don't vibe with UEFA competitions, and I think a little bit is that like the way that Everton don't like the idea of people not from Everton, literally County Road, supporting the football club because it's like they've slagged Liverpool off for having fans from outside the city for so long, and it's a little bit of a. It's a little club mentality.
City fans have always preferred the league to the Champions League. And I think it's because they hate United so much. They want to catch them in terms of how many they've won. And they're going to take a while to do that. But I think this year they've started to come round. That's the beauty of it. Yeah. They've started to believe that they were going to win it this year.
They had the taste last year. Mm. I think, just to go back, I didn't mean to gloss over it. That's a great point, though, Sam. About that, like, it's weird because I'm not going to take the European Cup off Chelsea for last year, but I felt very. That didn't happen for me. You know, it's weird. And that's stupid. It did, obviously. It happened. And we had some great moments. And, you know, you can never take Alisson's header away from us. But you're right. It wasn't real football. And that's why I'm glad effectively we had enough points to have won the league before the restart happened the season before, so that you couldn't even truly asterisk. I think that's even a word.
And someone pointed out that without Alisson's header, we wouldn't have even been in the Champions League.
No, but that's it. This season, Champions League run begins against West Brom. It just does. But that's the thing about it is last season was just a mess. It wasn't real football. There was no stakes to the game. Liverpool, you're right, how Liverpool are, we actually added stakes. You know, not only did we obviously having to come back from that, like the almost grave that had been dug through all the injuries.
Like giving everyone a lap start, and we're chasing from the back, you know.
But that, you know, I remember saying that about, like, let's say, like Phil Foden as an example. He went to the Euros and he had a great season for Man City. But he was crap at the Euros. Mm. He had that good shot in the first 5 minutes of the first game, and that was Phil Foden's Euros, pretty much, wasn't it? You know, but he's not been playing. He's come up, and he's obviously played in big games. But his breakout season was behind closed doors. And you look at there, and they're bringing Grealish on, £100 million signing. But he's a lad from Villa. You know, he's a lad who's come through the Championship, great. But you know, you see him when he's like, there's that video doing the rounds of him like taking the video inside the Bernabeu, and he's like, I'm in the Bernabeu, how great is this?
I think he would have, because Villa are a bit of an emotional club, I think he would have been better and had a better season had he went to even someone like United, because I think that kind of emotion and that jump on my back, I'll carry it, I think he quite likes that. Mm. Whereas City are a bit more of like, they deflect the attention off each other. Even De Bruyne, who's an unbelievable footballer, one of the best technicians in the league, he doesn't lap it up. Like, you know, Salah laps it up, don't you? De Bruyne doesn't. It's like Foden, Mahrez.
Salah's post-match interviews.
And you don't play every week. You know, and I know, you know, we rotate, but, you know, our top players play most games. Yeah. They have Sterling sat on the bench.
It's embarrassing. Crazy, till extra time. Nuts, that
one. Can I just add one more thing, though, about what you were saying before? I think that's a myth about the Champions League. I think that's a massive front from City going, yeah, we don't care about the Champions League. I think they do, and it hurts them. So to cover that up, they say, we want to win the Premier League, and even BT Sports say, it's all about your bread and butter. That's what they...
Look, to be fair, because you believe what most fans will believe what the general narrative, and they've been told to believe, they've been told that the Premier League's bigger because they've not been able to win it.
Exactly.
And even Pep did this. So I remember the season after we won the European Cup, we were playing them in the Community Shield, and I did an interview on Five Live, and there was the City fan presenter, Kyle Walker, not the right back, Kyle Walker, was on, and he was going like, oh no, the league, and it's like, look, you know, and obviously we hadn't won the league at the time, but I was like, I can tell you, I'm still old enough to remember us winning the league. The European Cup's just a bigger, but they've been almost brainwashed into the league is bigger, and the league became bigger for us because we hadn't won it for so long. But honestly, I want to win the league more than anything this season because I just want to see it.
Yeah,
I want a real one. Yeah. I want one that we can be in the ground and see them lift and properly celebrate. But most seasons, if you gave me the choice, I'd pick the European Cup because it's just magic.
If they win the European Cup next season, Pep's last year, I think if they win the European Cup like Chelsea did, like after their pomp, because it was Mourinho was their pomp, wasn't he? And then Ancelotti. I think, yeah, it's great. Yeah, you won it like last year. Yeah, you won it great. But I think if you win it under a godlike manager, it elevates you. So, you know, with us, if Shankly would have won it, we'd have probably been even bigger than we are now. Klopp's won it, massive. You know, Man United under Ferguson, massive. But I think City, if they don't win it next year, they've missed that boat of winning it under Pep. Yeah. Is huge. Because around the world, it's, oh, Pep Guardiola won it with City. It's not, Arteta went there and spent £600 million quid, won some of them, won it. Like, it's not really that big a deal then, is it? You know what I mean?
It's true. It is. And also, you know, it's funny, isn't it? Because Di Matteo winning it for Chelsea.
There you go.
It's a novelty act, isn't it? You know, it doesn't define an era.
It's on a par with Rafa winning the UEFA Cup with him, isn't it? Irrelevant.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. You know, I agree on that. I think it's really nice. And Real Madrid and back to Ancelotti for us. And again, Mo Salah putting out like unfinished business posts on social media and stuff. I just love it. It feels right to me. Mm. Like the real, because, and they were saying it in commentary when it looked after Mahrez's goal of like, there is definitely something to it being a Liverpool City final, because they are the two best teams on the planet, I think. I think that's pretty undisputed. I don't think anyone's going to have great umbrage with that statement. But the Liverpool-Real Madrid thing is just so much more. There's more to it. There's more texture. There's more feeling. There's just more. I don't know. It's like you can walk in a place. And a good example of this is last time I was over in the States doing pre-season tour, I went to Fenway Park for a game, and I went to Yankee Stadium for a game. And Yankee Stadium's a much more impressive facility, but Fenway Park feels like you're somewhere, whereas Yankee Stadium doesn't. Feels like you're in a big glass and, you know, metal arena, and that's what this is like. Liverpool City is a good rivalry for its time, but in the European Cup, Real Madrid, you know, that, like, back to 81.
The history there is just phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. Again, we said that's
who. And there's Ancelotti's history with us in the Champions League.
And we now owe him one, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? Forget about that. The two finals. God. You know what, though, as well? There's only one more team you could pluck out of history to make that final have more European Cups as part of it, and it's obviously AC Milan.
Yeah.
So it's two of the three biggest clubs, or four, including Bayern Munich, in the history of the European Cup, which makes it even bigger again.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely magical stuff. Right, we must talk about the game. No. We've got weeks and weeks of building up to it, because that's the thing about it now, is that we know Liverpool are going to play in every game this season.
And you know Tottenham beat Man City, didn't they, when they played them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so there we go. We need to pick more. We do. I mean, look,
there's a link for you.
Yeah. Wonderfully segued perfectly. Tottenham Hotspur. I always feel it's very weird when you've got those big highs. I'm not really used to this still, of this whole every game matters thing, because it's like, and there was that. I don't know whether it was true, but it was. There was rumours of like Salah basically walking in the dressing room afterwards and being like, "Right, enjoy yourself, but no bevying, no partying. We've not won anything yet. And I love that attitude. And whether it's true or not, I feel like that will...
I don't think it's true.
Well,
he was interviewed afterwards on the telly, on the pitch, and he said they're drinking in there, but it'll all be over tonight. Tomorrow it's back to business.
Yeah. It's a very, either way, that mentality of like, enjoy it now, but then we pack it away because we've got other things to get on with. And it's right, the Tottenham Hotspur game, and I know we've obviously just kind of glossed over it a little bit to some extent, but because I feel like you need to extend the good times on these things sometimes. The Champions League semi-finals are huge. Obviously, the lads have done the final word shows, and we did a little bit of a reaction in the airport yesterday, me and Steve, but they are big. And it didn't feel like that going into that. I didn't feel like I was heading into a big game going to Villarreal, but I walked out of it thinking, my God, this is huge. And the reaction to it, and then the game last night. So, yeah, it's good that we can all kind of enjoy that for a bit. But back to business. Tottenham Hotspur had fighting for top four in the time-honoured tradition, which is to say, incredibly inconsistently. You know, I've gone back and forth and back and forth so many times on who's going to finish in the top four. It was like nailed on Arsenal when just before they came to play us, they had like three games in hand, and you're like, well, there you go, it's all done and dusted. Arsenal are currently in fourth, 34 played, 63 points. Spurs in fifth, same games played, 61 points. Better goal difference for Spurs though, and I've long contended that Spurs will pip them, because I think they've got more proven big game moment footballers than Arsenal have. But that's kind of it, and that's the sting in the tail for us potentially here. Is I think we've kind of gone, oh, the FA Cup final's coming. Oh, we've got you know, like we were looking at United and Everton as a big week. This is a much harder game than either of those games.
This is what you want. You know, you really don't want to be playing a run-of-the-mill Premier League game, just having had all the excitement of the Champions League, having a cup final just round the corner. You know, you really want a game where Klopp can say to them, this is as tough a game as any we're going to have, you know, and you want them to come fighting, you know. I think our players are going to need that, and they're going to, it's a tough game even more so now than it would have been, and not because of Tottenham.
Yeah,
you know,
no, it's true. And this is that game where obviously we've been very businesslike and very professional at times. We saw the real ragged edge of Liverpool against Villarreal. Newcastle, we dominated, but it, you know, it's a close result, if not necessarily the, you know, performance. We've not really had in the league for a while. Like, I real, we've got to scrap and fight, and it might take us using some pulling a mad one out. This does feel a little bit that, like, I mean, I suppose Everton, it takes us a while to kind of get over the line in that one, but I don't know. This is going to be a real battle, fight and scrap, because there's fatigue, but also now we're in the Champions League final, things boxed. Now the mission is to box the Premier League.
Our side of the league, yeah. I think, to be honest, I don't worry about this game for a couple of reasons. First of all, I think we're much, much, much better than Spurs. And people keep saying to me, Harry Kane's amazing. Yeah, he's brilliant. Heung-min Son's amazing. Yeah, he's fantastic. But we've got 3, 4, 5, 6 more world-class players than they have. You know, we've got Van Dijk, Konate, Matip, plus our fullbacks at the back. Who have they got at the back? I don't even know who's going to play centre-back for them. And I just think, as a fan, I don't know about you too, because I'm sure you're going to be at the game on Saturday night. I'm walking in that stadium and I'm absolutely celebrating the life out of the fact that we've just got to the Champions League final. We're playing Real Madrid. It's all in. We've got 2 home games left. Leave it all out there as best you can. It's a Saturday night. I just think it takes care of itself. I think Spurs are going to come. They're going to try and do what they do, counter-attack and football, but I just think they're going to struggle to get the ball off us for a lot of the game, and I think we're going to be ruthless. So I'm not worried in that experience. And also, I think the United, Everton, Villarreal, Newcastle, Villarreal sort of axis of all the different types of games, going to the atmospheres, having to deal with it, early morning kickoffs, rival games, it's just all, we've added all this last few weeks, so I just think Spurs come and Spurs go, honestly.
I genuinely hope it's right on that. I think that the fact that they've got something to play for, they've got a good manager, and this is that time of season, isn't it, that where you come up against good managers, you really, they shouldn't be in our conversation. It's a bit, what I'm kind of alluding to here is 13-14 Mourinho, Chelsea, where Conte will want a scalp for his own, or a feather for his own cap as much as anything else. Yeah, and I know, and obviously to go for the top four thing, he will revel in. He doesn't give a shit that we're going for the quadruple, is kind of what I'm driving
at. No, he's got his own agenda, isn't it? He's got to prove that he can get that team up to being challengers, and this is the opportunity to prove how far he's come. But, I mean, for me, he's gone to Tottenham and he's struggled with them a bit, and then he's opened the desk drawer in his office and saw Mourinho's tactical and saw, we can sit back and play Harry Kane in the middle and hit them on the break. That works. So, and that's what he's done. He just plays the way Mourinho did. And he pulls Kane much deeper, and he has Son as the runner all the time. And they've got a goal in them. That's the only worry for me, is that they can score goals. Normally, you know, I wouldn't be too bothered by them, but, you know, I just hope we can get ourselves up for it. I'm sure the fans will, because the fans have got them coming back for the first time as Champions League finalists, haven't they?
And that's it.
So if the fans get up for it, the players will be up for it.
It being the night game, I think helps that, doesn't it, Dan? Yeah, you know, if this was a 12:30 kickoff, or even a 3 o'clock or whatever, but it's like we get to do another European big night-esque thing under the lights.
Except I just have this feeling that European crowds are much better than Premier League crowds.
Yeah.
You know, Premier League, I think it's because everyone who goes every game, so they're not quite up for it. We get a lot of people in the European games who don't go all the time, and who are, you know, whoa, I'm really up for this, you know.
Yeah.
So I hope you're right that we have a big atmosphere.
I think the night thing helps that, because I think I agree, in so much as we've all seen this and we've done ourselves to some extent of when it's part of your day, and you're a local and you do and you go, you know, it's just part of your routine, isn't it? It's not special in the same way. And then you've got you end up inevitably, and it might sound insane to people who aren't in this, but I'm trying to explain it, but it's part of your life. So you've got more life that happens after the game, whereas when you come to a one-off game or a special game, your whole day, that game is your day, whereas you might have to get off and you've got to go home and cook dinner for the family, you know what I mean? Or you've got to get to dinner, or you've got other engagements for the other parts of your life afterwards. It being the night game means that's it, that's the focus. You know, you're either going home to bed or you're going out to town. You know, there's your choices. So there's no like, oh, I've got to rush, or I've got to hurry, or I've got other things on my mind. Your entire day is laser focused towards this being the thing. So I'm hopeful, Sam, that this will certainly add.
Yeah, 100%. Like, kids all day, box them off, pass them on, see you later. One of them ones. I think a lot of people are in the same boat. I think, you know, a couple of other things to sort of go along with that as well is I think momentum's huge here. We are absolutely fine. You can't tell me one player in that changing room, apart from some of the lads who can't get on the pitch, maybe, who aren't feeling 10 foot tall right now. And I think that goes a long way. Like, how we played second half very briefly against Villarreal, when we got that goal back, everyone just sort of went up three levels, or 30-40%, and that's where we're at now. So even if Spurs were to get a goal, which I agree with you, John, they've definitely got a goal in them, I don't think it would matter too much on our demeanour, unless it meant maybe 2-3. And also to go with that as well is the night game thing. We've just played at 8 o'clock on Tuesday, 8 o'clock on Saturday, and we play another late game, so our training regime doesn't break. We don't have to come out of that sort of, I don't know what you want to call it, but the way they sort of plan and train, the cycle of it, I think that really helps us as well.
No, I agree, and that's, again, it doesn't get mentioned enough, but it's also one of the reasons why Klopp hates the 12:30s. Not just it being early and you lose an extra couple of hours of recovery preparation or whatever, but to go from a night to an early when they like to get into that, you know, they like to train at the times that they're going to play to acclimatise the bodies or whatever to it, marginal gains and all that. So no, I agree. I think that's a really interesting point in terms of what we're doing. Just a little bit on Tottenham. So just looking at their recent form, you know, it's just mad. You know,
they beat a few teams on the beach recently, haven't they? Like Leicester and teams like that.
You go back to mid-March and they beat Brighton away 2-0. They beat West Ham 3-1 at home. They batter Newcastle 5-1. They batter Aston Villa 4-0. And that's at that point where you're thinking, right, this is it, Spurs mean business, and they're probably just going to kind of kick on. They then lose 1-0 at home to Brighton. They draw 0-0 with Brentford. They go and beat, and then they go and beat Leicester at the weekend.
They beat City in February, and the next game they got beat by Burnley. So that's the kind of team they are, in and out.
But that's the battle for fourth place all over. We've been here before many times, and you think, oh, look at that, they're all very winnable. But you forget that when you're a team that's fighting for fourth, you very rarely put five or six wins down back to back. You might do three or four, and then you'll lose and you'll draw, and then you'll put another little cluster of wins together. You don't ever put, because we do this now, when Liverpool go on like 15, 16 game unbeaten or winning runs. But when you're in there, that's how you end up fourth, is that you're good, and you're good enough to beat anyone on your day, but you can't do it consistently. So that's where
they're all like that, aren't they? Every single one of them.
That's the form of Arsenal, that's the form of Spurs, and then obviously below that it's dropping off, and even Chelsea are moving that way now.
And they turned up at United, didn't they, and got beat out of nowhere. We all thought they'd turn United over and Ronaldo scored that trick. That's kind of where they're at, isn't it, as a team?
Absolutely. Just again, in terms of how they lined up then in that win over Leicester the weekend, they went for a back three: Romero, Dier, Ben Davies. And across the midfield, Emerson, Bentancur, Højbjerg, Ryan Sessegnon, and then Lucas Moura, Harry Kane, and Heung-Son.
You take the top two out there, that looks like Southampton. Like that, it is though, isn't it? Like, let's be honest, you look at that team, you're thinking mid-table. Like, Barcelona and Kane, Villa have got a better team, and that's what we're playing against. Didn't Ben Davies get injured? Am I right in saying that, or was it someone else?
Great question.
Might have been Doherty. One of them got injured, and they were gutted because he's playing wherever he was.
They brought on Harry Winks, Dejan Kulusevski, who's having a good season since joining, Steven Bergwijn as well. They've got options, but they're very similar to, there's a clutch of those teams that Man United are like that, where they've got lads who will just win a game of football for you, but they're not the complete package. And you know, now, and having Conte is an advantage because he's a really good manager. He's been here and done it as well. He'll be able to engineer things, but they've got Hugo Lloris in goal, who's as likely to pull off an absolute world. He's just to chuck one in his net. It's just that's just the nature of the.
So he's playing unbelievable on Saturday night.
Obviously, but also don't be shocked when it's the 95th minute and we need a goal, and Hugo Lloris like just does something stupid, like a let went through his legs or whatever, because he's just.
And they've got the best name bad defender in the league in Dier.
Yes, Dier. Absolutely.
Dier is Dier.
Do you know what
they've got? I think no matter what happens this weekend, whoever wins that game, Tottenham Arsenal, you'd imagine will push through, won't you? Unless Arsenal go in with like a 5-point gap, maybe, but. That's the game, isn't it?
Is this the midweek? Is this next?
I think so, because it was rearranged, wasn't it? So I think it is, yeah. That's the win or bust game for everyone, isn't it?
In front of me, I could have just answered that question. yeah, they play Tottenham on Thursday.
That's weird.
Yeah, Thursday, Sunday, they've got Arsenal followed by Burnley.
Oh yeah,
and then Norwich is their last game of the season, and then ooh, apparently they play Rangers in July. Who gives a shit? Carol.
So they've got Burnley, Norwich. After that's winnable for them, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the that's why your point is Arsenal very much need to get that buffer before they play that game because Spurs should absolutely. I mean, we say that
Burnley are on fire.
Burnley are
on fire.
Yeah, Norwich are too, but not in the same. So it definitely an interesting one. I'll have a quick look in terms of their availabilities and stuff, and I want to have a quick chat about their danger men, because obviously we know Harry Kane. Everyone knows Harry Kane. We don't need to sit here and extol his virtues. He's definitely turned the corner. Son is he's the one player we did it. I think on TikTok, like which one player you'd have.
It's terrific.
It's just Son, isn't it?
He's been their best player for years, even when Harry Kane was being, you know, lauded as the greatest.
And the other thing to watch out for, and I'm sure Salah have an eye on, Sam, is that it's the Golden Boot race.
Yes.
Salah's on 22 at the moment. Son's on 19.
He's on 19?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another little, like... And I'm hopeful for this, but I think he's found himself in the last week or two. And I'm hoping that this is another example. I don't want to see him go nuts here where he's... Because he's up against that rival for the Golden Boot, and he's trying too hard to put distance. It'd be nice if Mo Salah just plays that laid back, chill, calm. I'm just gonna do my business for the team. And if he scores like the third goal, then that's the most important thing.
He doesn't stat pad Salah, does he? I think one of the things I'll say about
but
Son,
he should do.
But like when you were like Ronaldo, you look at the goals he's got. The impact's not as well done. Great season, but the impact's not been there. Where I think Son a little bit the same. Like you scored 19 goals and you're playing with Harry Kane and you're still scrapping for your life for fourth and you might not get fourth.
Yeah.
I think Son have scored a few goals when they've won 4-5-0, you know, things like that. I think Salah doesn't really stat pad. I mean, he chose Man United for his game to stat pad away, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
So I think we're at the stage now where winning trophies, you know, sits above Salah winning the Golden Boot.
I certainly hope so. Just briefly on the other one, obviously Dejan Kulusevski, we touched upon him, January sign, and 14 appearances for them in the league since then, 3 goals, 8 assists. I mean, that's the huge one, you know. That's as many assists as Harry Kane, who they now think is the greatest passer of the ball in English football history. Son's got 7, so they've got that. I think ideally they'll have them 3 out if they can. And that's the one thing here, that is that this is we need to be switched on to actually put them to bed. But it's not like a game where we just can't phone this in defensively because they've got too many options.
Yeah. At least we haven't got Kane in the box diving all the time for penalties.
Yeah, he can dive outside the box instead. Yeah.
Dive in the centre circle, that's fine.
if you're watching Use the Live show chat, if you want to interact with us, by all means, then do. We'll read through some good comments and whatever at the end. And the same with our Club Legend Discord chat as well. You can get involved if you're a Club Legend subscriber on Redman Plus over on there. We are going to take a very short break. We have got a trivia question, which I haphazardly slapped together in the moments before we started this. How many times has Conte won as a manager against Liverpool? Answers after this.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Yes, thank you so much for sticking with us during the break. A bunch of things going on. Obviously, Ultimate Fan, we're having loads of good fun with that. You can download that using the link in the description underneath. Play our league as well. And also, if you want more content from us, more brilliant content, I'm going to be interviewing Michael Thomas in a couple of hours' time, talking about the FA Cup final 1992, which we were at that. That was it.
We were.
And I irritated you to all heaven because I was more bothered about the sponsor boards that rotated in the game itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
That at Wembley, the old Wembley.
Yeah,
do you remember anything about the match, or do you remember what the adverts were?
Genuinely, like, it's mad. I remember that, like, lots of really stupid things about that game, like, to the point of it was the first time I'd ever seen revolving sponsor boards where, like, they rolled around. Yeah. So it was like Super Nintendo and Carlsberg and stuff, and it was like, I know them. I recognise those logos.
What was the FA Cup wasn't sponsored then? Was it just the FA Cup?
I remember McManaman's cross. And I remember, we were on the same side as the box where it was lifted. So, like, yeah, being lifted up to kind of just see the top of the trophy and stuff. Like. But anyway, yeah, that's why I'm going to be speaking to a man who actually scored in the final. That is going to be going up on Redmen Plus in the countdown to Wembley next week as well. So make sure you get over there for that, as well as all the pre-match and post-match content as we careen towards the chances of a quadruple. But either way, literally every game of football that can be played, we've covered. I am so tired. But I'm powering through because success, it does that for you. Success breeds endorphins, which breeds happiness, which makes more good content for us. Right, sad. I asked the question before the break about Antonio Conte. How many games has he won against Liverpool? He's played five. He's managed five times against us. Four for Chelsea, one for Tottenham Hotspur. And he has won?
Two.
I'd have said two.
Once.
Was it the 2-1 at Anfield?
It was a 1-0 at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, I remember that. It was towards the end of the season.
May the 6th, 1-0, 2018.
Because we were kind of okay for fourth, weren't we? And we were, like, saving for the Champions League. Header from post, I remember that.
We beat them 2-1 in September 2016. We drew with them then back-to-back at Anfield, January 2017, November 2017, then lost to them, and then we drew with Tottenham Hotspur on the 19th of December this year. And that one's really interesting for me because in any other world, it's astonishing, but just actually, let me just talk around this, that the timing of our COVID cases is the reason why Liverpool haven't walked the league this season, I think. And, you know, butterfly effect, maybe we wouldn't have dug as deep and maybe it wouldn't have been as consistent in the back end. But people thought Man City were miles better than us because we were just decimated in that period between mid-December and going into January and then heading into AFCON as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, to lose, you know, that many players over such a short period. It's a crucial period always for me, December. We tend to play really well in December and then have a drop-off in January, and we have to fight against that drop-off. And then you lose your two best forwards exactly at the moment when you really need them most.
Yeah,
you know. So it's a horrible time not to be at your best.
And that game, the game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is mad, because, again, I've got the lineup here. So it's Alisson in goal, Robertson, Konate, Matip, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Milner, Tyler Morton, Naby Keita, and then Mane, Jota, Salah. And that's the thing about that. There's no Van Dijk and there's no Fabinho for that game, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So your two pillars, the guys that we do everything in our power to make Fabinho available for the big games, and he's not there. And this is no disrespect to Tyler Morton, a very talented young man, but he's not ready for those games.
Well, we saw in our injury horrors last year that when Fabinho was moved out in midfield, you really missed him.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And it's all right when you've got Jordan Henderson there because he's, you know, the next best thing. He knows the role. But we didn't have Jordan Henderson there, did we? I don't know. Was he also struggling with COVID?
Yeah, I can't remember. I think he's ill that week, I think. Or
there you go,
like
yeah.
That,
yeah, that was right, because he was ill, didn't have the COVID. But that's the thing. I mean, you look at that side, the absolute engine room of our team missed a DM. And Naby and Milner are fine, but you've got to have a stronger a defensive midfielder there as well.
Yeah,
I mean, game was also chaotic with mad decisions.
Well, that's the other thing that which in 2 seconds I'll just talk about that. But our substitute bench that at the time, Firmino, who was just coming back from injury, Gomez, who I barely played, ends up on the field, Shima Cass. But you've got Cade Gordon, Nico Williams, and Jarrell Quansah on the bench there, and now we're at a point where you know there's international footballers who are missing out on our subs benches, you know, currently. But you're right in terms of that game. Andy Robertson gets sent off after the VAR decision, which is
it was all right that wasn't it?
Was, yeah, it was. You know, he was trying to be very Andy Robbo and put a strong physical tackle, and he just got it wrong, and you can see that. Yeah. But it's the Harry Kane one. Harry Kane should not be on the field.
It's embarrassing.
The referee absolutely gets that wrong, and the VAR totally and utterly get that wrong. So he should be nowhere near that game. And Alisson just chucking one in as well out of nowhere. And it's mad how if you get too much, you know, we're top of the league, but for a couple of random,
we had a massive penalty shout at 1-0, didn't we? Jota,
yeah,
absolutely bundled over. I mean, but all of that aside, I was crying about that, about the decisions and on the COVID stuff, but when you look back and you think Alisson deals with that 99 times out of 100, it just happened to be that one game and that one moment where, but maybe he's been the colossal goalkeeper since then because of that. You know, I've moaned about VAR all season with City, but I'm starting to now sort of come around to the butterfly effect. Like, we are where we are because we had to dig in. We genuinely are.
Yeah, you're right. You can't guarantee anything, can you, in that regard? Because we always say the City, the team that like drivers on, and Liverpool, and like last season, even a decimated Liverpool, when they have to dig in, when the chips are down and the pressure's on, they thrive under that atmosphere. And would it quite have been the same? We can't know. But that was always been my hope, that it goes all the way back to that Tottenham Hotspur game, is that we've, in another world, like, and City kind of had this, City get their COVID outbreak in the week where the League Cup semi-final is, which they're not in. So effectively, everyone goes down in that week.
And the FA Cup, in between.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just take all the rough with the smooth, don't you, and you move on. And as we've said all along, we thrive on adversity. We seem to get better when we've got our backs to the wall.
Yeah, completely.
A bit like Real Madrid.
Yeah.
That's why we're so, you know, interconnected in Europe.
Yeah, without a doubt. In terms of what Liverpool are going to do then, I'd say Jordan Henderson nailed on to start this one, Sam.
Definitely, yeah. Where he plays, obviously I'm not sure. With Fab not playing against Newcastle, you'd imagine he's probably going to go again. But I was actually surprised Jordan didn't start against Villarreal. I thought it was his game. Mm-hmm. But he didn't, and we won, so great. he's going to play. He's going to lead us out. He's going to keep them standards up. We need it. Few days after.
No, absolutely. And the question is, because of how we rotate and how we've been rotating, it's entirely possible that we could see Henderson in the six, but I just think because it's Tottenham and how big a game it is.
Well, because of the way they play as well, you need that sort of cover in front of the back four, I think.
You need, he will put the strongest possible team that he can get out there, and he'll probably ask, there's one or two he might ask to go through the pain barrier. But madly, Villarreal ended up, because of the five subs, we end up in quite a good situation by the end of that game. And the fact that like Tsimikas comes on and does the last couple of minutes, hopefully that will
help. I think Matip will probably get a game.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just have this feeling Gomez might play. I'm not sure why.
Well, really? Trent didn't play against Newcastle, did he? So you'd imagine they're almost doing in twos at the moment, so like you play two, then he's kind of rotating it like that. So yeah. I think Villa's the game, John, where you know, he gambles a bit because we should be Villa, you know, one of them ones.
Yeah. And again, having the FA Cup final looming the week after, it's hard to unpick all of this because we're playing every 3 days now. There's very little respite. Mm. It does feel like there'll be some rotation here and there, but not dramatic. All of Chelsea's eggs are going to be in that basket next weekend, so we're going to need to be prepared for that. But again, we can't take our eyes off
what we're doing. We have got people you can rotate in without a lot of difference.
Yeah,
I mean, we've got five top class forwards if Bobby's fit again. And any three of them, you're going to say, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because where we're at for Liverpool now, it's an old Chapman thing for me, but when your fixtures fit on one screen, you know, we are 8 games from six, because we've, sorry, that's my apologies, because we put pre-season games on the bottom of there. Well done, Google, trying to undo me fitting it on one screen.
Make
it bigger.
Bolton and all.
Yeah. Fleetwood. So I say Tottenham at the weekend. Villa is the Tuesday, and then we've got till Saturday for the FA Cup. But then Southampton is another Tuesday, and Villa's the one where if you're gonna slightly weaken, then that's it. But I think your point's spot on there, Dad, is that there's five lads reasonably, I think, you can come in without any tangible drop off. And I'm going to, now that I've said five, which was might sound like an arbitrary figure, so I'm going to do this like it's planned. Canate, Gomez.
Yeah.
Albeit, obviously, a different type of right back, but I think he's more than capable. Naby Keita, Diogo Jota.
Firmino.
And I would actually say
Tsimikas. Yeah. I think if he started on Saturday, people would be okay.
Okay, Sean. Okay, so sincere apologies. We've got a slight technical issue, so we're just going to go to a very, very short break while Si frantically fixes it.
Hey, I am so sorry to interrupt you. I'm really not, though, but I have a public service announcement, and it's so incredible. I just had to stand here and talk to you and tell you all about it, because you like Red Men TV. You love Liverpool Football Club. We've got a streaming service called Red Men Plus, where we put loads of all of the best content on. Yes, get over to theredmentv.com. Get yourself signed up for Red Men Plus. We've got incredible documentaries and audio features over there, and everything is available. There's a podcast in your ears. Get over there and do it now. Carry on, enjoy the show, yeah?
Hey, right, welcome back. Welcome everyone. If you're live, we've managed to just about come out the other end of technical issues. Thank you so much for everyone who's helped us point that out. And a big round of applause for Cypher Legend in the comments, please.
If BT Sport can do it, we can do it.
Yeah, look, it happens. You've got to roll with the punches. This is just what live broadcast is all about. We've had a super chat coming while we were doing it. Johnny De Hoyos Jr. with $4.99 has been here following you gents for a long time. Believe YNWA, greetings from El Paso, Texas. There you go. Thank you so much for joining us all the way over there. Let's know, what time is it over in Texas right now? Early.
Up with the cows.
In terms of what we're doing, yeah. The Liverpool 11, I think. We've got no choice but to go as strong as possible here. I think Villa will provide us a touch of respite, but as we were saying, we've got five lads there, and more when you really have to go to it. But this is a game where I think Villa, you can unlock another two or three more players. And I didn't even mention Curtis Jones in my list earlier. You know, I think he's one of them in contention. But for Villa, I don't think it's outside the realms where you could put Divock Origi in if you wanted to, or you might be more inclined to start Curtis Jones, or you could go to Oxlade-Chamberlain or Harvey Elliott. Spurs is not that game. Spurs is the game where we continue in the cycle we've been in for the last week and a half, where there's actually that pool of, it's a much smaller talent pool that we're picking from. So what do we think? Matip to come back in?
Matip.
He might rotate the fullback. I mean, the idea that Tsimikas comes on, sometimes that can be an indicator of what he's going to do. But I also, it felt a little bit to me like that was just more, Rob was just going to play every game, and that was a protection move.
Yeah, I mean, there's few enough games left to more or less play your best team all the time. But, you know, and there are just a few players you can drop in without affecting that in any. Obviously, Jordan Henderson's one of them, Matip's one of them. I think we'll be fairly strong. I think Robbo will play. I think Trent will probably play as well. Pick any three or five for the forwards.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. Thiago will probably just play this, because again, this is what
top
you, what
top top game. Yeah.
Maybe Hendo in the sixth, but it's more. I think it's more likely it's going to be Fabinho, Thiago, Hendo for this one, and then you've got a conversation around the front three, because we did this in the build-up of Villarreal. It was like, we'll get Jota the game and get him, maybe see if you can get him his confidence back, because I think he's been in, I don't want to be disrespectful or whatever, I don't think he's been in good form for a while now. But him getting hooked in that game says we might be in a world now where it's Diaz, Mane, Salah are just going to play, and then Jota's now a rotational option for them rather than him being a nailed on. He starts these big games.
I think there's a shout for Bobby in a game like this.
Well, he should be back.
Is he fit?
Well, I don't know whether he is or not, but I mean, someone who comes deeper, because obviously they play very much from the middle these days. But also, what will he do to Dyer? You know, where's my centre forward to mark? You know, so I think there's a shout there. I don't know whether he's fit enough. You know,
he probably needs, because he's been out for a little while, he probably needs like 20 minutes at the end to then go again for the next game. But the fact that
he's not even on the bench in midweek.
It's a toe injury though, apparently, isn't it? It's not, and if it was, say, an ingrowing toenail or something, you can sort that.
It's a mad one, isn't it? Because he's just not been there. He's not been training. It's what Bobby is.
Well, he has been running, hasn't he?
But he's not been
training, isn't he?
He's not been training with the lads.
So I agree. I think we need Firmino available, because we need him to play games, because that's the point about right now, is that Minamino, I'm not sure we'll see Minamino for the rest of the season unless something mad happens, touch wood doesn't. Same with Divock Origi. So at the moment it's four for three really.
Yeah.
And Divock is your break glass off the bench. Bringing Firmino in, who will just come in and just knit everything together. I think we're going to need him in the next week or two, particularly because look, legitimately, you could start Firmino in the FA Cup final.
And he would do a good job. I think everybody will get some form of rest over the next six games. I can't see one player. Like, I didn't even think Salah would be resting against Newcastle.
Apart from Alisson and Van Dijk.
Potentially, circumstantially, like we were just saying before, depending on what happens between now and the weekend, because City play twice, City play three times and we only play twice. So they'll have 37 games before we play Southampton.
Yeah.
So depending on what happens in the points gained and lost and things between now and then, we could see a crazy team against Southampton because it's meaningless.
Yes.
But failing that, I think everyone probably gets some form of rest. Maybe, like you say, bar Van Dijk. Alisson doesn't count. He's a goalie. Goalie shouldn't be rested. But but Jota this weekend, I think, I'm wondering, because Mane has played the last three, four games, am I right, from the start. He's played Villarreal, played Newcastle, played Villarreal again. I don't know, did he play against Everton and United? He probably did. So when you look at all that, I think Mane's turn to go Jota down the centre and Diaz and Salah flanking him.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be opposed to that at all, to be honest. And again, if we think Tottenham are going to dig in, then maybe that's more of a game for Jota, because he is that, like,
he's a goal
fox in the box.
Yeah,
exactly that. Whereas I think I wonder whether we thought Villarreal might be more of that. Like, they'll come and attack us in flurries, but then they'll get everyone behind the ball. Whereas we never really got to that area of the pitch, or certainly not enough. So it might not be the worst idea to give Mane a little bit of a rest and put Jota in for this one.
We're looking about three changes then, maybe just down the spine, sort of Matip, Hendo, and maybe Jota.
I'd be reasonably happy with that. Anyone?
Yeah, no, that sounds good.
Raises on that. DBS with the super chat says, thoughts on how Man City will respond to their Champions League exit. Hi from Australia, lads. These 4 a.m. Champions League games are killing me. Yeah. Well, to be fair, I had that where we by the time I got back to the hotel and finished editing the match vlog, I got to sleep about 4 o'clock on this. I'm still reeling from that, because you don't get your sleep back when you're a kid or when you're in your 20s and stuff. Yeah, you have a late night, just catch up or go to bed early or sleep in late or whatever. No, not when you've got kids. Just go again, again and again and again and again. Yes, right. How will City respond? I've no idea. I'm hoping that they fall to bits, Dad. I'm hoping that this is all the psychological...
So many factors at play, aren't there? Injuries, tiredness, the lack of adrenaline, the
momentum,
down in the dumps, all that kind of stuff. You just don't know, do you? Because no matter what the City fans may have thought, those players wanted to win the Champions League, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, desperate to do it.
Yeah, if you ask any player, who's especially if they're European or beyond, that's the big one, isn't it? Like you say, what the fans say is different. But yeah, it is interesting because, I mean, Newcastle won't really care. They'll just go for it. They've got nothing to lose. Yeah, yeah. They were half decent against us.
They're just on trial, aren't they, for next season?
Yeah, massively. It's going to be interesting. I mean, imagine they drop points. You know exactly what Pep will do. He'll go on TV and go, Liverpool have won the league. It's all over. They're the best team. He'll just try and throw everything at us to put pressure on us. But hopefully by then, we'll already be top anyway. So,
I've said it all along, but then again, I've been wrong in a number of ways so far this season. So I'm happy to be wrong again, by the way, but positively, because I thought City would win the Champions League this year. I just thought it was nailed on. I haven't got the final and you know all that kind of stuff. But no, Newcastle are not going to do anything to Man City at the Etihad. They're not.
They shouldn't do.
There's no world where we win the league without it being a last game of the season. Mad, you know, like, you know, because you know we're either completing football or we're not.
Well,
and the only way for us to complete football is for Steven Gerrard's Aston Villa to do us a favour on the last.
Stevie G making up for all what happened, and then us making up for what happened against Madrid. It's like the cycle of life coming back. It's like the Lion King, innit? The last scene's the first scene where it all began. It's mad, isn't it? It's exactly like, imagine Salah scores the winner, having, you know, Diaz just falls over and takes Coutinho out, who then scores the goal or something like that. It's just, that's it. That's the way to go.
Yeah, that would be absolutely splendid. Just briefly then, in terms of the other fixtures of the weekend, of which have very little interest or importance to us, but it is what it is. Brentford, Southampton, Burnley host Aston Villa. Well, actually, in terms of the relegation stuff, the idea that Steven Gerrard could have a hand in all this, you know, he's got Burnley, he's got us, and they've got Man City left to play. So Gerrard could have a hand in relegating Everton and giving Liverpool the league title,
all for that.
All for all of that.
If he wants the job, this is what you got to do, mate.
Chelsea Wolves. Chelsea very much getting sucked into the race for fourth place, which is insane. I mean, here's a random one. Thomas Tuchel has had to defend so much of like that football club. So he's had to defend Roman Abramovich. He's had to go that. Abramovich is going. He might be coming back for all his dough at some point. But you know, Thomas Tuchel might have actually fallen on his feet in so much as he's had to front the Abramovich shit up. But if Roman Abramovich was still owning Chelsea Football Club, and if for some reason they fall out of the top four, as unlikely as it is, like, he'd be sacked. Mm. He'd be getting sacked in the summer. Yeah. Whereas the uncertainty around it all means that he'll probably get to keep his job, and they might get to carry on building stuff.
I mean, they've had a lot to put up with, I suppose, with all that. But I think they've been playing with the traditional cup final brain. We're in the cup final. We want to make sure we're playing on that day. So I'm not quite going into this tackle as hard as I might.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of that with Chelsea at the moment.
Yeah.
And the good thing about that is it's very difficult to get out of it once you know, to play badly for a few weeks and then suddenly to expect you to get back to the best you could possibly be for a one-off game. I think that's very difficult.
No, I agree.
Thank God.
Yeah. Palace, Watford with the Roy Hodgson derby. Brighton, Man United. Brighton could win that 1-0 or they could lose that 1-0. That's how them games go. We're obviously, as mentioned, the quarter to eight kickoff on the Saturday night. On the Sunday, Norwich, West Ham. I really, 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 really need West Ham to book their ideas up in the league for a couple more weeks, because I want them to finish above Manchester United more than people at home will ever know.
We also need them to go out tonight so that suddenly they look at the league going, we need to start winning games. We've got City next week.
Yeah. They've also got a game in hand over United. They are at the moment 6 points behind them. You know, it's West Ham's focus will be on the Europa League, and it should be on the Europa League. But there is a wonderful little subplot of you've got us and what we're going for, and you've obviously got Everton in a relegation fight, but there's the fact that Manchester United could end up in the Conference League. That's
where you want them, isn't it?
Yeah, because we want them playing every week, don't we?
Yeah.
We want
them playing in the worst competition.
Yeah.
In
Siberia.
And against a bunch of teams who it's like a holiday for them, and they just want to come and beat you and make a name, because Cristiano Ronaldo getting legged all over Eastern Europe all next season at 38 years old is exactly what I'm looking
imagine
for.
Imagine how many fans they'd have at home to like some team we couldn't even pronounce the name, it'd be shocking, wouldn't it?
I'm absolutely amazing.
Mass walkout.
There's a tier list of what I want to happen this season.
Would you rather
it's not
that,
vital, but
that or the Blues go down?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll ask a question. Liverpool win the league, the Champions League, and of course the League Cup, but lose the FA Cup final. But you've got to lose the FA Cup final in order for Manchester United to finish in the Conference League and Everton to get relegated.
I'll take the four.
So you're saying, watch at home, would you offer up the Champions League to the football gods as a sacrifice that sees Man United have to play Conference League football and Everton have to play Championship football? What would you do then?
No, I don't want Everton to go down.
Oh, I see.
I like having two Premier League teams in our city.
Yeah,
it's our generation, Paul.
I lived away from Liverpool for 4 years, and it gave me that this mad like real fondness for the city. So I agree. It would be quite funny, and if you told me that Everton will come straight back,
I'm not going to cry my eyes out. You know,
sat on Twitter laughing, though, John, while you're all there, the piss
if it
boiling.
Happens, I'll laugh my head off. But you're right. I would, and I've said this all along. I don't mind them. In so much as I'd rather them be in Europe than like Arsenal or Chelsea or Tottenham. Or
I just
West
have this
Ham
thing. I remember United getting relegated in the 70s, and they came back up with a really good team. It totally transformed, and they were exciting and they were winning things. And I thought, I don't want Everton to do that. I don't want them to come back, revitalised with a new stadium on the horizon.
I think they're rubber ducked financially, though. I think they could be absolutely in big stick if they go.
Yeah. I do. That's the point about that, is that if you guarantee for me they'll come back up again, then I'll have a laugh for the year and it'll be fucking hilarious, and Toffee TV will be a bit of a brighter ray of sunshine in and around the offices, because they'll get to win some football matches and they'll probably walk and get 100 points and it'd be great. But more likely to happen is that they will disappear without a sight for years and years and years and years.
We do a rival fixtures on the Uncensored Match Builder. It'll be like, yeah, I'm going down to the Championship. Everton are playing Barnsley away this week. I'm all for that.
That's right. Absolutely right. Just in terms of the other fixtures, moving forward and beyond, as mentioned. Arsenal have got Leeds. That's another big one in terms of the relegation fight there. Leeds beating Arsenal would be the most top four race thing to happen. And also we could do with that just putting that firm ceiling above the relegation zone and saying it's... if no one else could get dragged into it and just leave it down to Everton, that would be fine as well.
Nah, Leeds are going down.
All of a sudden,
I can't see Leeds winning another game.
No.
Looking at their fixture list.
Yeah, that would be.
I think they've got one big performance in them. I don't know if it's going to be enough, but these teams usually do. You still might go, but they've got one win.
Man City, Newcastle, 4:30 kickoff on the Sunday. That's the one where, we'll just hopefully we've got done what we need to do, and you can put your feet up and you can. I'll never watch a Man City game out of my routine, but we tend to watch the Sunday afternoon games together, and my dad.
I mean, this will be like the third time, I think, we'll have moved above them.
Yeah.
And the pressure's on. They've sort of shrugged it off.
Yeah.
But it's going to be much more difficult to shrug it off this weekend because of tiredness and all the things we've talked about. City are not going to be in the best place, I don't think.
So. If that goes second half 0-0, that's big problems, because that's when the fatigue kicks in, doesn't it? When you've got a team who hasn't played for eight days, it'll be for Newcastle, in decent form, and they're absolutely shattered. But they'll win. They're not the games. It's Wolves. I've said it all year. It's Wolves. It's not even West Ham, it's Wolves. It's 0-0.
Sad. Right, let's have some score predictions. Liverpool Tottenham.
3-1.
3-1.
I'll take 3-1 as well. Yeah. Kane will score, won't he? Because he does.
Son.
Okay, sad. But whatever, just win Liverpool. just win and keep winning, and let's all have the best end of the season ever. Right, thank you so much, everyone who stuck with us through some trying issues during the show. Massive hats off to Si for managing to get that sorted as well. Thank you so much for watching. If you are live, we do these live on YouTube, of course. For every single game, we've got loads of content in the build-up and post-match of every Liverpool football game, and loads of extra amazing content to get you closer to the football club on and off the field. Head to Red Men redmenplus.com. If you want to get involved, we'll put the link in the description underneath as well. But you can just type redmenplus.com in and head over there, sign up and get yourself involved with this little Liverpool streaming service that we've built that we are immensely proud of. But yeah, that is that. And don't forget as well, Jürgen Klopp's press conferences will be available on our podcast free and also here on YouTube as well. So make sure you check all of that good stuff out. Anyway, gents, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you to everyone who's commented, liked, shared, and of course, subscribed to the YouTube channel. And yeah, we will be back this weekend at Liverpool Tottenham. Cannot wait.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.